The author's true confession. I admit it. I never wanted to publish this book or make it available to a wide audience. I was scared. I wrote this book for one person, my sister. Bonnie had three kids, was unemployed, and was on welfare. It hurt me to see her suffer. I knew her life could be different if she knew the five-step process I developed for creating whatever you wanted. I wrote this material for her and only for her in 1997. She's now off welfare and doing fine. She's got a house, a car, a job, and a loving family. She's not rich yet, but I think I've shown her a new way to live life. I never wanted to make this book public because I was nervous about how the world would perceive me. I've written 17 books so far for such well-known and conservative organizations as the American Marketing Association and the American Management Association. I also have an audio tape program with Nightingale Conant. I figured if I told the world about my interest in spirituality, people would ridicule me, clients would fire me, and these organizations would shun me. So I played it safe and kept this book a secret. But in June 1999, I felt the inner urge to give a copy of the rough manuscript to Bob Proctor at the beginning of one of his Science of Getting Rich seminars. Bob read it and loved it. And then he did something shocking. There were 250 people in that seminar in Denver. They all wanted to know how to create wealth. Bob stood before them and read off all of my book titles and then introduced me to the crowd. I stood and the crowd applauded. They treated me like a celebrity, and I loved the attention. But then Bob told everyone about my new book, my unpublished book, about this book. I was surprised. I wasn't ready for this. I held my breath. And then Bob told them the title, which at that time was Spiritual Marketing. There was such a hush throughout the crowd that chills went up my spine. Not only did people favorably react to the book, but they all wanted it right then. At least 50 people came up and said they wanted to buy the book on the spot. Bob Proctor later said he wanted to record it. And one publisher in the seminar said he wanted to publish the book sight unseen. My concerns about publishing this book vanished. I could see that the timing was right to release these ideas, and I saw that I would be safe in doing so. So here I am. As with most things in life, there's little to be afraid of, and wealth and glory await right around the corner. All you have to do is step forward and do the things you're being nudged to do from within. Bob Proctor nudged me in front of 250 people. As a result, I released the ebook called Spiritual Marketing in 2001. The book was an instant success. It became a number one bestseller at Amazon on June 4th and 5th, 2001, which are my parents' birthdays. This book was translated into 7 languages. People wrote me from all over the world, attesting that the 5 steps explained in the book helped them to get a job or heal something incurable or raise money or find true love and more. It was pretty staggering feedback. I began to think, if this material really changes lives, then I must get it out in the world in a bigger way. I need to expand the book and better explain the 5 steps, and I need a strong publisher, too. I set that statement as my intention. And now you're reading this book. Obviously, I expanded it, updated the information, and found the right publisher as well. That's how the attractor factor works. But before I explain the 5-step process, let me say a few things. Miracles never stop. More miracles have happened to me since writing the little booklet in 1997 that evolved into what you are now listening to. Here are a few of them. When I first wrote this book and described the car of my dreams, the car of my dreams at that time was a Saturn. I've now upgraded my dream and my car. I'm now driving a BMW Z3 2.8 Roadster. I have never in my life had so much fun driving. But as I grew in my life and became bolder about going for my dreams, I also naturally wanted a different vehicle. I was then led to Francine, my beloved 2005 Panos Esperante GTLM exotic sports car. Woo, what a ride it is! I then went on and attracted a rare 1998 Panos AIV Roadster. It was once owned by Steven Tyler of the rock band Aerosmith. While attracting cars isn't what this book is about, these new cars symbolize major changes in my life. It's also a message for you. You truly can have anything you can imagine. When I first wrote this book, I was still married to Marion, whom I had been with for more than 20 years. Since then, we decided we had grown apart. There was nothing negative about the experience or the decision at all. Marion decided she preferred being alone. I decided to look for another partner. I found one, too, in Nerissa, who I am deeply in love with. I remained friends with Marion right till her death in 2004, and I miss her even now. Still, I'm a lucky man. Major changes in life can truly be easy and effortless. When I first wrote this book, I made a goal that I wanted passive income. I wanted money to come to me easily and effortlessly, always, consistently, no matter where I was or what I was doing. I was then led to meet Mark Joyner, then CEO of Aesop Marketing, who asked if he could put one of my books online as an ebook. I was skeptical. But I gave him Hypnotic Writing, a manuscript I wrote many years ago. Mark put it online, marketed it, and the sales blew my socks off. Even now, years after the book went online at www.hypnoticwriting.com, orders keep coming in. Since there is no book to print, stock, or mail, all the money is passive income. Every month I receive a check, sometimes for staggering amounts. And since I now have over a dozen ebooks out there, including the bestseller, How to Create Your Own Ebook in Only 7 Days, at www.7dayebook.com, the checks are even bigger. Now I smile a lot. I know that when you set an intention, you set the forces of life to bring it to you, and you to it. When I first wrote this book, I was living in Houston, Texas. After I met Nerissa, I moved to Austin. I then began the process of attracting our dream home. After a few months, we found a beautiful two-acre, two-story, hill country property with wandering wild deer and rabbit, and an outside pool between Austin and San Antonio, located in a small spiritual artistic community called Wimberley, Texas. Finding this home was a matter of having a clear image of what I wanted while following every intuitive impulse I had. The result was a miracle. As my career evolved, I ended up in many movies, including the staggering hit The Secret, as well as The Opus and The Leap. This led to appearances on Larry King's television show, Donnie Deutsch's CNBC TV show The Big Idea, and much more. This also led to my writing more books, including The Key and Zero Limits, and recording more audio programs such as The Missing Secret. Obviously, when you do what you love, wealth and fame follow. I could go on. For example, a man I studied some 20 years ago was Dr. Robert Anthony. His famous books and tapes changed my life. After I came out with an early version of this material, he read it and contacted me. Now, the man who was once one of my gurus is now one of my business partners. I ended up producing, recording, and marketing his terrific audio program, Beyond Positive Thinking. I think it's the greatest self-improvement material of all time, and I'm involved with it. Attraction Works. I just sat down with Narissa and talked to her about the ongoing miracles in my life. "It happens to you all the time," she said. She mentioned that just the other day I wanted to book us a flight to Ohio to see my family. Tickets were nearly $1,000. I simply expected to get a better deal while being willing to accept the going fare. When I called the airline back, they told me I had enough frequent flyer miles to get both tickets for just over $100. Way cool. And Narissa reminded me of the time I wanted to complete my collection of rare books by P.T. Barnum, a man I had studied and written a book about. I found the last book I needed, but my intuition said not to pay the high price the bookseller was asking. So I let go. I waited. A few days later, the bookseller lowered his price. That's almost unheard of. And yes, I bought the book. And Narissa reminded me of the time I looked for one book for nearly 7 years and couldn't find it. I gave up. But I decided I would attract it, somehow, some way. Then, out of the blue, an email friend in Canada wrote me that he had the book. I begged to buy it. He declined. But a few days later, he suddenly decided to just send me the book, at no charge. And Narissa remembered that a year or so ago, when I couldn't find a friend of mine that I loved and missed, I gave up and hired a private investigator. He couldn't find my friend either, so I quit looking. But I made a decision to attract her back into my life. Then one day, simply following my intuition, I walked right up to my friend at a yoga class. I found her without breaking a sweat. Narissa also reminded me to tell you what happened just yesterday while writing this very preface. I have been studying the Sedona method for months now. It's a very simple method for releasing any emotion or negative experience in the way of your being happy right now. I like the method and have told many people about it through my monthly e-newsletter. I was reading a book by Lester Levinson, the founder of the Sedona method, just yesterday morning. I sat in my easy chair, reading, feeling happy, wondering how I might learn more about Sedona and Lester. I remember thinking, gee, it sure would be nice to meet some Sedona people and learn more about what they do. That same day, I checked my email, and to my delighted surprise, there was a message from the director of the Sedona Institute. He had heard about me through the grapevine and wanted to talk to me about how I could help promote their website at www.sedona.com. Wow! And then there are the countless times when I want more money for something or other, and I get a brainstorm that pulls in an abundance of money fast. One time when I needed to raise $20,000, I almost led a seminar on spiritual marketing to get it. Instead, I felt guided to see if anyone would sign up for it online and take it as an e-class. I announced that the class would only be done by email, would last only 5 weeks, and would cost $1,500 per person. 15 people signed up, bringing me a whopping sum of money in one day. Very nice. I have since taught my e-class system to others. They have made upwards of $250,000 per year with it. In most cases, I received almost half as payment for my consulting. You know I like that. Another time I donated $15,000 to the mother of a child who had had a pediatric stroke. She needed the money for a machine to help her child learn how to move his little body. I didn't know her or her child. I gave her a check for the full amount. It was the largest donation I had ever made up to that time. But later the same day, I received a check for twice the amount from an unexpected source. Miracles like this are not rare or impossible once you soak up these principles. "You have miracles happen all the time," Narissa repeated to me. "Why do you think that is?" I asked her. "It certainly wasn't always that way." Because you now practice the attractor factor, she explained, you make yourself a magnet for whatever you want. Once you decide you want something, you get it, often almost instantly. Well, there's no question about it. If I tried to document all the miracles that keep occurring in just my life alone because of the attractor factor, I'd never stop writing this book and never get around to releasing it to the public. My point is this. The 5-step formula you are about to discover works. And because it works, I want you to have it. I once told Nerissa that there is an easy path through life and a hard path. When I first met her, she was crawling up the rocky side of the mountain. I pointed out that there is an escalator through life, too. You can take the hard path or the easy path. It's all your choice. When I first met Nerissa, she was unhappy, battling a lawsuit against construction workers who messed up her roof, fighting with her mother almost every day, hating her job, and more. Within a few months of discovering the attractor factor, she ended the lawsuit, found common ground with her mother, quit her job, and now has 2 e-books out there and a growing internet business. She's now known as the Video Queen. She also lives with me in our country estate. She says she is happier now than at any other time in her life, ever. Again, there is a rocky road through life, and then there's an escalator. Which do you prefer? The attractor factor shows you the way to glide through life. Why not step up and enjoy the ride? What's your attractor factor IQ? Let's begin by checking your IQ when it comes to attracting what you want. The following quiz was created by Anne Marie Caffrey and used here with her kind permission. Just taking this test will illuminate areas you may want to focus on as you listen to this material. To see your results, go online and take the test at www.smart-attractor.com. 1. The target. Question 1. When you think about what you would like to manifest in your life, is it something you could easily and without hesitation put down in writing? A. Yes, I know exactly what it is that I want. I have given it a lot of thought and could describe it clearly in writing. Or B. I have a pretty strong vision of what would make me happy, but it would probably take me a little while to put the specifics into writing. C. Well, I know that I want more money because I want to drive a luxury car and live in a fabulous house. I can't say I have spent a lot of time working that out. I haven't thought about specifics much. Question 2. Are the dreams and goals that you have today very different from those you had a few years ago? A. No. I've had the same dreams and goals for as long as I can remember. B. They have evolved over the years, but in essence, I still want the same things. C. Yes, I've changed a lot over the years, and so have my dreams and goals. Question 3. Think for a moment about achieving something that you believe you really want. Say it to yourself in the present tense. For example, I am earning $200,000 per year in a job I love. Now, become aware of your body's physical responses. Which of the following best describes the sensation? A. Relaxed, good, positive feeling, totally desiring this outcome with all my being. B. When I focus on my physical sensations, I get a vague feeling of headache, chest pressure, tightened abdomen, and so forth. C. Anytime I imagine having this scenario, it causes an unmistakable and negative physical sensation somewhere in my body. Question 4. We all know of individuals who are clearly very driven and motivated to succeed. Where would you rate yourself on that scale of ambition, determination, and drive to succeed? A. I think I would be toward the top end. I work hard and feel a constant burning ambition to make something good of my life and achieve what I want. B. About average. I am capable of achieving a lot when I really apply myself, but doing that continually would burn me out. C. I've never felt hugely motivated about anything in particular. The simple fact is that life isn't fair and it isn't always the hardest workers who get rewarded. So why bother? Question 5. One key trait that many successful people share is persistence. If your friends and family were describing you, which description comes closest to what they might say? A. He or she is incredibly persistent. Even when things are going wrong, he or she just keeps on going. B. He or she puts a lot of energy into achieving goals, but sometimes gets derailed after a hard knock. C. He or she starts everything with great enthusiasm, but then loses interest once the going gets tough. 2. Positive mental attitude. Question 6. Albert Einstein once famously said that the most important question anyone could ask himself was, "Is this a friendly universe?" How would you answer that question? A. Yes. B. Don't know. C. No. Question 7. How would you describe your present situation in terms of having things to be grateful for in your life? A. Very lucky. I have great relationships with family and friends. Like most people, I'd like to have more material things, but I feel great appreciation for the good things I have in my life. B. I'm doing okay, but I'd be even more grateful if I had more. C. It's hard to be grateful when I work so hard and have so little. Question 8. If there are dreams and goals that you have not yet achieved, what, in your opinion, has so far prevented you? A. I haven't been 100% successful so far simply because I haven't fully focused my intent and made things happen for myself. It's not due to anyone else. B. I would say it's partly due to my own beliefs and behaviors, which I am now trying to change, although some external factors have come between me and my goals. C. I was prevented from reaching my goals because I have had so many setbacks in my life. Circumstances sometimes seem to conspire against me. Question 9. Do you consider yourself to be a lucky person? A. Yes. Not necessarily in the sense of always winning stuff, but in the way things always seem to work out for the best for me. B. Average. C. Unlucky in a lot of ways. I've had many tough challenges in my life. Question 10. When you hear phrases such as, "You are a creator, you have the power to create," or "You are one with the great I am of the universe," which of these best describes your inner response? A. Those lines are so true and resonate profoundly with me. B. It's encouraging and uplifting, but I can't say I fully feel it or believe it. C. That's all well and good, but I simply don't see how it relates to my practical day-to-day life. 3. Faith and inspired action. Question 11. When you're faced with a difficult situation in which you're unsure of the right path forward, or when going through an anxious period in your life where a lot is at stake, which of the following are you most likely to do? A. I'd hand the situation over to God, my guardian angel, the universe, and simply ask and pray for help. I find it relieves me of worry, and things always seem to work themselves out for me. B. It depends. Typically, I will look for options or perhaps talk to someone I trust or occasionally pray. See, I would try to work things out for myself. I don't feel that prayer or asking the universe for help is going to achieve anything. Question 12. Answer this question on reflex. Would you be comfortable with someone telling you that they believe you are very talented, creative, logical, witty, sensitive, whatever you are, and that they want to pay you $500,000 per year to work for them simply using that talent? A. Yes, why not? I think I'm worth it. B. It's a nice thought. I know I am talented in some areas, but I don't know if I'm worth that much. C. No, I don't believe I have anything to give worth that much. Question 13. When you think about actually living your ideal lifestyle and achieving your goals, how realistic do you feel you are being? A. Very realistic. I feel that it's achievable and will come soon. I have had success in the past, and I know I will again. B. Well, I don't feel it's going to happen for me in the next few weeks or months, but I think it's realistic to assume that I will get there eventually. C. It's a pipe dream for me. I cannot connect where I'm at right now to where I want to be, but I think it would be a good way to test the power of the law of attraction. Question 14. The law of attraction allows you to have, do, or be anything you want. How does that statement make you feel? A. Really good. It's so simple when you stop fighting it and just believe it. B. I sometimes struggle with the faith side, but I'm actively trying to improve my faith by reading and meditating. C. I don't think I could ever have the kind of blind faith implied in that statement. I'm a realist. Question 15. Regardless of your current job, do you feel that you know what your own unique talents are? A. Yes, I make room for my real interest and talents in my life, and I hope someday to make a career from using them. B. Yes, I'm aware that I possess various talents, although I don't think any of them translate into something I could make a living from. C. Nothing stands out, and I have never really thought about it. 4. Thought control. Question 16. When driving a long journey or performing some repetitive task that frees your mind to process other thoughts, which of these most closely describes your pattern of thinking? A. I concentrate a lot on progressing toward my goals. Whenever my mind is free, I am usually thinking about my goals. B. I do occasionally remember to focus on my goals, but it's hard to stop my mind from just drifting. C. When I'm not forced to concentrate on something, I just let my thoughts wander. Question 17. If thoughts are responsible for manifesting our reality, are you thinking mostly positive or negative thoughts? A. Mostly positive thoughts. B. Not sure. C. Mostly negative. Question 18. We process about 12,000 thoughts each day. Do you remember what you were thinking about yesterday morning? A. Yes, I know I would have spent some time in deliberately turning my thoughts toward achieving my goal. B. Not sure. Obviously, whatever I was working on would have required my thoughts to be focused. I can also recall other thoughts involving personal events and feelings. C. No idea. Whatever came into my head, I guess. Question 19. Are you consciously carrying around resentment, hurt, or anger toward another person for something that happened in the past? A. No. We've all been hurt, and I have felt those feelings.
but none are active right now. I am not wasting any time on anger or regrets. B. Sometimes. I do have one or two hurts from the past that are not so easy to just forgive and forget. Those feelings occasionally surface. But on the whole, I feel blessed that I have so many people around me that I love. C. Yes. Sometimes when you get badly hurt, it's almost impossible to forgive. I still get quite angry and or emotional when I think of this person or event. Question 20. Do you consciously change your focus when you notice that you have started thinking something negative rather than just allowing the thought to carry on uninterrupted? A. Yes, I often get some external trigger like a loud noise and realize I have just been allowing my mind to drift into negativity. As soon as I become aware of it, I immediately refocus my mind on something positive. B. Sometimes. I generally try to stay positive, but I don't always notice my thought patterns. C. No. I don't specifically control my thoughts in terms of stopping negative ones. I think about whatever comes naturally at the time. 5. Tools and techniques. Question 21. Do you meditate? A. Yes, daily. B. Yes, occasionally. C. Never. Question 22. Do you practice visualization? A. Yes, I always visualize my goals in great detail. B. Occasionally. I find it a little difficult to master. C. No. I don't set aside any time to visualize. Question 23. Do you use affirmations? A. Yes, I repeat affirmations each day as part of my daily routine. B. Sometimes. I do use affirmations, but I don't always remember to do it every day. C. No. Saying stuff out loud feels a bit silly and pointless to me. Question 24. Do you keep visual reminders of your goals somewhere prominent? A. Yes. B. Not exactly. I have made attempts to gather pictures, but I don't look at them as often as I should. C. No. Question 25. Have you ever practiced repetitively writing out your goal? A. Yes. I handwrite my goal quite often. It helps drive it deeper into my subconscious. B. I have tried writing it down a few times, but it's hard work to keep on writing. C. No, never. Again, just taking the quiz will help you think about your current ways of creating your own reality. Remember, to see your results, go online and take the test at www.smart-attractor.com. An Attractor Factor Case Study. Before I walk you through the five steps in the formula, let me tell you a story about how these steps work. This will give you a reference point for understanding how to use these steps in your own life for anything you want. While the following story is about attracting a new car, remember that the principles will work for anything you want. A car is only a symbol. I tell people that the spiritual and the material are one. They are two sides of the same coin. Anyone who says a material anything isn't spiritual is being self-righteous. The divine created it all, including you, me, and really nice cars. Sometime in early 2006, I picked up a copy of Robb Report magazine. It's a high-end magazine focusing on luxury items, from expensive watches to cars to wines to, well, anything that costs a lot. In this one issue, there was an article that listed the five best exotic sports cars of all time. I knew four of the cars, but not number five, a Panos Esperante GTLM. A what? I had never heard of a Panos car before. I became curious. It's important to realize right here that I had a curiosity about the car, not a need. You can attract things faster if you aren't desperate for them. Now back to the story. I studied the photo of the Panos Esperante and felt the car was incredible, spectacular. It's a barely street-legal race car. It's made by hand by a family outside of Atlanta, Georgia, the Panos family. They only make a few cars a year. They are expensive and collectible. I wanted one. Note that I didn't need one. I didn't even begin my search for the car yet. I just figured I would attract it. Having been through this process before, I know that you don't have to worry about how you will attract something. What's far more important is that you know what you want. In my case, I wanted a Panos Esperante of my own. I let the intention go. I didn't worry about it, think about it, or in any way concern myself with it. From time to time, I would poke around online and see if any Panos cars were for sale. I also researched the company and learned what I could. Again, I wasn't desperate. I was simply curious. Of course, I was taking some action. Not a lot, but some. My searching online was an action. My searching places like eBay was an action. I firmly believe that while most of your goals can come to you without a huge amount of action, you almost always have to do something. The car of your dreams doesn't usually just appear in your driveway. Somebody has to drive it there and pay for it. Almost a year went by before I actually saw a Panos. One morning I got up, went to my computer, did my normal surfing and email, and was surprised to see a Panos listed for sale in San Antonio, Texas, not far from me. I called the dealership on the phone. Now note, I'm taking action again. I asked about the car. The dealer was surprised I knew what a Panos was, as most people don't. I was seriously mispronouncing the car's name at the time. It's more accurately pronounced Panos, but Panos will do. But the salesman was polite in correcting me. That same day, the same day, I went over to San Antonio to see the car. Now, you might call it love at first sight. The chili pepper red convertible was a true head-turner. The salesman opened the hood and let me see the Panos company had named the car. Francine. She's a 2005 Panos Esperante GTLM, and she's a fiery redhead. I drove her and loved the experience so much I was almost giddy. I had to go to lunch to settle down and then return to the dealership and drive Francine again. Some self-doubts crept in. I wondered, is this car right for me? And what about insurance? And even, what would Nerissa think? But I looked at each question and stayed with it until I answered it. To attract anything, you need to first rid yourself of any stumbling blocks or negative beliefs. When it came time to negotiate buying the car, I held my breath. I had been a used car salesman 30 years ago and hated it. I knew they could lie or at least mislead me. I was afraid. But I also knew that facing my fears is a key to my success. Fear is a block. It prevents manifestations. So I went in and faced my fear, which appeared in the form of the dealership owner, Rich Hovey. Now this is where the story becomes magical. I knew a new Panos cost about $130,000. Francine was barely used, with only 1,400 miles on her, and I knew the price wouldn't be much lower than if she were new. But Rich told me an interesting story. He said the car was won by a local man in a lottery. Apparently he bought a $500 ticket to a fundraiser and won the grand prize, Francine. But then he was presented with the tax bill for the car, and he couldn't pay it. He wanted to sell the car fast and for almost anything he could get. Oh, and the taxes were due the following week. I was the right guy at the right time. I negotiated a fair price, around $80,000, and drove home with that car. I had attracted the Panos car I said I would 1 year earlier. Hopefully you see the key elements at play in this story. I set an intention. I was playful about it. I imagined what it would be like to have the car. I took action. I faced my fears and dissolved my limiting beliefs, and I got the car. This process works on anything you can name, of course, not just cars. So don't feel disconnected from the story just because you want to attract a house or a job or a spouse or anything else. The process is the same. The five steps are the same. And now it's your turn to use them. The truth about the law of attraction. The other night I had dinner with a few friends on a wooden deck under the Texas stars. The conversation was about creating your own reality. We talked about Jane Roberts and the Seth material, including such books as The Nature of Personal Reality. Seth was one of the first to teach me that we create our own reality as individuals and as groups through our thoughts and feelings. Our inner self pulls the other to us while helping to create life through us. That led to conversation about the law of attraction. This is the law publicized in the mega successful book and movie, The Secret, and in books of my own, such as The Key. The law of attraction has been around a lot longer, of course. William Walker Atkinson wrote about it in 1906 in his book, Thought Vibration. But others declare the law goes more than 2,000 years back, all the way to Jesus. Philip Harris, in his book, Jesus Taught It Too, The Early Roots of the Law of Attraction, writes, Jesus was by no means the first to introduce the concept of the law of attraction. He says the law had its earliest roots in ancient Egypt in Babylon. What is the law of attraction? It's the law that states the energy you emit through your thoughts and feelings will attract corresponding circumstances. In short, think good thoughts and attract good things. There's more to it, of course, and I'll explain it in this recording, but that's a simple explanation of this remarkable law. Our deck conversation continued. Someone mentioned the law of gravity. Everyone has heard the story of Sir Isaac Newton having an apple fall on his head and from there formulating the law of gravitational pull or universal gravitation. The definition of this law is interesting. Every object in the universe attracts every other object with a force directed along the line of centers for the two objects that is proportional to the product of their masses and inversely proportional to the square of the separation between the two objects. You don't have to understand the definition to follow where I took the conversation with my friends on the deck. I said, if Newton discovered gravity in 1687, what did people call it when they knocked over chairs or fell down before then? My point was this. Newton's discovery of gravity was simply an observation and labeling of something that had been working all along, right from the beginning. By writing about it in his little booklet about the principles of mathematics, published in 1687, Newton helped us understand a law we could then use with awareness and intent. This law and Newton's laws of motion form the basis for modern engineering. Knowing the law of attraction is similar. It's been working all along, just like gravity. It's been in your life since your birth, just like gravity. It's something you never think about, just like gravity. But now that you've been made aware of it, you can begin to construct a life of your dreams based on it. What you want to do is work with conscious awareness of the law of attraction. This is similar to the world of engineering, which improved with Newton's discovery of the law of gravity. Even if you don't regard the law of attraction as a true law, like those of scientific studies and physical realities, you can at least accept it as a spiritual law. Until more tests are done to prove the law of attraction is as valid and important as gravity, assuming it is a spiritual principle you can work with will take you miles ahead in achieving your dreams. This recording describes my Attractor Factor 5-step formula for attracting whatever you desire. Its underlying premise is that the law of attraction is real. But you don't need to believe in the law of attraction to work these 5 steps any more than you need to believe in gravity to build a house. It's simply the hidden law that makes your construction of a house or a life possible. With this in mind, let's get started.
What are you dismissing? I had lunch with a dear friend the other day. Although I enjoyed the company and the food, I left feeling a little lower in energy. When I thought about it, I realized my friend was brilliant at dismissing every book, concept, guru, self-help method, or healing approach he had read or heard about. He was not directly negative or purposely critical. He sincerely wanted something that would work in his life. But he was unconsciously dismissing everything that came his way. At one point, I told him about a spiritual teacher I had studied over 2 decades ago. I told him that people said my teacher was obviously enlightened. He radiated it. My friend cut in, saying, "I'm sure there are people who saw that guru and didn't think he was any smarter than a paper bag." Well, my friend is right. But my friend is also unhappy. I think there's a lesson here. When we dismiss people and ideas because the entire world doesn't agree with them, we get to be right. But we also get to stay empty inside. By dismissing what could work, we dismiss our own growth. We dismiss what's possible. It doesn't matter if the book you read and love is loved by anyone else. It doesn't matter if the teacher you admire is admired by anyone else. It doesn't matter if the healing method that worked for you doesn't work for everyone else. What matters is you. Your happiness, your health, your healing, your well-being. The truth is, no method works for everyone. No teacher is right for everyone. No book is going to inspire everyone. It all comes from within. You are the first and final authority on your life. Rather than dismissing what is possible so that you can be right, what can you accept so that you can grow? Dismissing is often a way to deflect the messages. It's a self-defense mechanism. If you dismiss the book, idea, or method offered to you, you get to be right and stay right where you are. Dr. Richard Gillette, writing in his wonderful book, Change Your Mind, Change Your World, states, "Disapproval is, surprisingly, the most reliable indication of a hidden belief system. Quite often, the only way disguised beliefs show themselves is through moments of emotional judgment or disapproval." All the successful people I know have accepted new tools into their lives over the years, spent thousands of dollars on personal growth and self-study, and never regretted any of it. The key is not dismissing or disapproving, but digesting. For example, Narissa and I had dinner with friends recently. One friend was complaining about her job. From her perspective, there was no way out of the misery she felt at her place of work. Bad boss, bad hours, bad pay, you name it, it was bad. Later, we were joined by other friends. As chance would have it, one of the new friends had connections where our complaining friend worked. He gave our unhappy friend a name and said he could help her resolve her issues. He went on to say that this connection was a supervisor, head of many departments, and could possibly resolve whatever was wrong. I was stunned. So was Narissa. We were seeing magic happen right before our eyes. But what did our unhappy friend do with her new lead and new hope? She dismissed it. She didn't write down the name or the number or show any signs that something wonderful had just occurred. Now, do you see how this works? Sometimes we can self-sabotage the things we say we want. We simply dismiss the good. People often write and ask me what one single product can they get that will transform their lives. When I tell them I so love Dr. Robert Anthony's material that I financed, recorded, and now market his Beyond Positive Thinking CD set, they are sold. They go to www.beyondpositivethinking.com and buy it. Yet, some people complain. It costs $99. Of course it costs money, and that's incredibly low for a studio-quality, life-changing set of 6 audios. Are you going to pay it and get what you want, or are you going to dismiss the greatest self-help material of all time? Do you want the good you say you seek, or don't you? Let me end this with another example. Yesterday I received a letter in the mail about a new audio program about dissolving illusions. I read the piece, but dismissed it. I figured it was simply stuff I had already heard before and probably even recorded elsewhere myself. Then today, I got another mailing. This time it was from a different source, but selling the exact same audio program. I read it over closely. I thought, this is interesting, but I bet there's little new in it. I then placed the mailing aside. But an hour or so later, as I was reviewing this very chapter you're listening to right now, I suddenly realized that I was doing the very thing I am warning you not to do. I was dismissing an opportunity to learn. I dug out the mailing, filled out the order form, and dropped it in the mail. The audios are on the way. Now, the point is not that you buy everything that comes your way, but that you don't dismiss everything that comes your way. Sometimes a dismissal is a mask. It's your self-sabotage at work, keeping you where you're at. To grow, you must be open. Again, you are the final authority on your life. Tune in to yourself and do what's right for you. And as you do this, be alert to those times when you may be dismissing the next gift to come your way. Let your guard down and let life in. How to attract money. What do you do? I asked. I was standing in a line of 700 people in a hotel in Seattle, waiting to spend a day listening to an author and spiritual teacher. I do energy work, the woman beside me replied. It's hard to explain. It's different for each person. Do you have a business card? I asked. No, she said, slightly embarrassed. I was shocked. Let me ask you a question, I began. There are over 700 potential clients here for you. Why don't you at least have business cards? A woman beside her smiled and told her, you were just hit by an angel. Well, I'm not an angel, but I was curious why this businesswoman was missing a huge marketing opportunity. As I talked to a few more of the 700 people at this event, I realized all of these people were in business for themselves, and they all needed help in marketing themselves. That's when it dawned on me that I could write a concise handbook on spiritually based manifesting. No one else seemed better qualified. I'm the author of the AMA Complete Guide to Small Business Advertising for the American Marketing Association, and I have over 15 years of experience in metaphysics and spirituality. I've interviewed many self-help spokespeople and have had some of them as my clients. Besides, I had already created and tested a secret 5-step process for attracting anything you wanted. I also knew that those 700 people at the seminar represented a still larger group of people who need help with their businesses and with their lives. I further knew that they were all doing something inside themselves that was creating their outer results. In other words, their inner state of being was creating their business or lack of it. Put more simply, the woman who didn't have a business card had an inner insecurity about her business that showed up in her life by her not having business cards. Her attractor factor was attracting no business. And taking this logic a step further in the direction I want to take you later in this book, if that woman were truly clear about her business, she wouldn't even need business cards. Business would just come to her. Her inner spirit, her attractor factor, would do her marketing. That's what this book will reveal. I've learned that we are human beings, not human doings. When you reach a clear inner state of being about your service to the world will almost come to you. When you are clear about the car, person, house, job, or anything that you want, you will start to attract it to you. As one successful person said, "Angels now hand out my business cards." Confused? Well, that's okay. Therapist, author, and friend Mandy Evans says, "Confusion is that wonderful state of mind right before clarity." Fundamentals of Prosperity. Maybe the following story will give you a glimpse of what I'm talking about and set the stage for what is to follow. I once read a delightful old book from 1920 entitled Fundamentals of Prosperity by Roger Babson. He ended his book by asking the president of the Argentine Republic why South America, with all of its natural resources and wonders, was so far behind North America in terms of progress and marketing. The president replied, "I have come to this conclusion. South America was settled by the Spanish who came to South America in search of gold. But North America was settled by the Pilgrim Fathers who went there in search of God." Where is your focus? On money? Or on spirit? On the goals you want, or on the spirit that brings them? How to become a millionaire. Years ago, Scrawly Blotnick conducted a study of 1,500 people. They were put into two categories. Category A said they would pursue money first and do what they really wanted to do later. Over 1,245 people went into that group. Category B, made up of 255 people, said they would seek their interests first and trust that money would follow later. What happened? 20 years later, there were 101 millionaires from the entire group. Only one came from Group A. The remaining 100 millionaires all came from Group B, the group that said they would pursue their passions first and let money come later. Right there is another clue on how to attract money. Where is your focus? On money or passion? Welcome to the Attractor Factor. In this book, I offer a new way for you to easily and effortlessly increase your business, find your love, improve your health, attract more money, or anything else you can imagine. It's based on timeless spiritual principles. It will reveal how your inner state of being attracts and creates your outer results, and what to do about it so that you can have, do, or be whatever your heart desires. I call it the attractor factor. It is truly a spiritual formula for success that never fails. Do the techniques work? The proof will be in the pudding. Try them and see. Oh, I can tell you about the successes I've had, and I do in this recording, but nothing will be quite as convincing to you as using these simple ideas and seeing your own amazing results. I could tell you that this method will help you manifest anything you want. You'll read about people who created cars and homes, healed themselves of cancer, created new relationships, and attracted more money. But I'm focusing on attracting wealth in business because there appears to be a serious lack of spirituality in business. And I'm going to let you discover the magic of marketing with spirit, because nothing will be more powerful than your own firsthand experiences. So pull up a chair, get comfortable, take a deep breath, relax. Let's talk about how you can increase your wealth and achieve anything else you may desire through the magic power of the attractor factor. It all begins with understanding that your life can be another way. It can be another way. Before I became a marketing specialist and author, I was an inner world journalist for over 10 years, writing for several leading edge magazines. As a result, I've seen miracles with my own eyes. For example, I interviewed Meir Schneider, a man who was diagnosed as blind. He was given a certificate saying he was incurably blind, and yet today he sees, he reads, he writes, he drives a car, and he has helped hundreds of people regain their vision as well. I once spent time with Barry and Susie Kaufman at their Option Institute and saw and heard of miracles there. Their own child was born autistic. They were told to give up on him, but they didn't. They worked with their son, loved him, nurtured him, accepted him, and healed him. Today he lives as an above-average, happy, successful adult. I've sat in dozens of workshops where I saw people heal their relationships with their lovers, their parents, their kids. I've interviewed gurus and mentors, talked to people who have had incurable problems dissolved, and I've experienced miracles firsthand in my own life. I've come to believe that nothing, nothing is impossible. The Healer's Healer. For more than 10 years, I worked with Jonathan Jacobs, a man called the Healer's Healer, because his track record for helping heal people is so stunning that doctors referred their own patients to him. I've seen Jonathan take people with everything from money problems to back injuries to cancer and help heal them, often in a single session. I've tasted this myself. For most of my life, I struggled with money. When I lived in Dallas some 30 years ago, I was homeless and starving. I shoplifted to eat. And when I moved to Houston 25 years ago, I found it a frustrating nightmare to come up with $200 a month to live in a dump. It was hell. Yet I went through it for nearly 15 years. 15 years! Then, after doing a few sessions with Jonathan, I somehow let go of my old beliefs about money, installed new ones, and now my finances are so amazingly different that I am often in awe that I have so much. New cars, new home, world travel, more clients than I can handle, and a constant stream of cash that keeps me above water at all times. I pay every bill that arrives when it arrives, and I never experience lack. I attract money easily now. What happened? How can Meir cure the blind? The Kaufmans heal autism. Jonathan help people with any list of problems. How can I have money when for a decade I had next to nothing? It begins with knowing that it can be another way. That's what I want you to understand right now, that no matter what is happening in your life, no matter what you think will happen, it can be another way. The direction you appear to be headed can be altered. Nothing is set in concrete. In fact, as you'll see, everything in life seems to be plastic. You can mold it to fit what you want and where you want to go. Even right now, as you listen to these words, you can begin to play with new possibilities. What do you want to be, do, or have? Win the lotto? Why not? Increase your business? Why not? Heal something? Why not? Have more money? Why not? A friend of mine asked, "How do you know what is impossible?" I replied, "How do you know what isn't?" Shore leave. I believe our planet is what was described in an original Star Trek television episode called Shore Leave. When Kirk and his team land on a planet to check it out before sending the rest of the crew down for some much-needed rest and relaxation, they begin to experience odd events. McCoy sees a huge white rabbit. Sulu sees an ancient samurai who chases him. Kirk sees an old lover and an old rival classmate. After experiencing the joys and sorrows of these events, it finally dawns on the crew, thanks to Spock, of course, that they are on a planet that reads their thoughts and creates what they think about. I think Earth is that planet. What you hold in your mind with energy and focus will tend to be created in your reality. You'll attract it. It takes a little longer to experience results because we keep changing our minds. Imagine going to a restaurant and ordering chicken soup. But before it arrives, you change your order to wonton soup. And before that arrives, you change your order back to chicken soup. You'll sit there and complain, saying, "I can never get what I want," when in reality, you are the reason your soup is late. Most of us do that every day. Our indecision makes attracting what we want nearly impossible. No wonder you end up feeling that you can't get what you want. Yet it doesn't have to be that way. Consider what Francis Larimer Warner wrote in Our Invisible Supply, Part 1, in 1907. "Spirit is substance which forms itself according to your demands and must have a pattern from which to work. A pan of dough is as willing to be formed into bread as biscuit. It makes as little difference to spirit what we demand." That's the foundation of the 5-step process I'll describe in this recording. Knowing that life can be different for you, and that life itself will support you in what you want. It's called the attractor factor. Here's a clue to how it works, written by Genevieve Beyrin in her 1921 book, Your Invisible Power. Try to remember that the picture you think, feel, and see is reflected into the universal mind, and by the natural law of reciprocal action must return to you in either spiritual or physical form.